is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. I am just so thrilled to have Andy Saunders on the program to talk about Apollo Remastered because he is fantastic. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Patsy. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I always have anybody from England on because I love the accent. I lived in England. Before we leave, we'll talk about football a little bit. But let's talk about this book. It is amazing. I have had this wonderful opportunity. I have been at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, the behind-the-scenes tour, Building 8, where they had the vault.
That's right, yes.
They let you in this vault, and they said, have at it.
Not quite, no. I would absolutely love to get inside that vault, but they won't let anybody in it, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
It's obviously full of some of the most important film in existence, some of the most valuable film in existence, and it's very delicate. So, NASA undertook the scanning. They got it out of the vault, they thawed it properly, they cleaned it, and they scanned it to an incredibly high resolution. And that's the key to the book, is almost everything we've ever seen since the 60s and 70s has actually been based on duplicate film, or copies of copies, because that film is so important and so valuable. Well, as soon as it got back from the moon, they just made these duplicates, and the originals went into that vault, and they've been maintained at the right temperature and at the right humidity levels to help maintain its condition. So everything therefore we've seen has been based on a duplicate set or multiple copies. And that's something that always frustrated me, is, you know, what we've always seen of what to me is the most important film in existence has actually been not great quality. And that's frustrating, and it doesn't make sense. They use the best cameras, the best lenses, the best film. We should have been able to see them in a better state. And that's really what drove me to take on this huge project.
Well, you've done a marvelous job with all of your experience. Did they come to you, or you went to them? How did that happen?
No, it's something I took upon myself, really. NASA, as an organization, quite rightly, is on the forefront of everything. It looks forward. It's, you know, we're going back to the moon. There's a great history office, and they do respect the history. I think they're just more focused on the future. So they hadn't gone to undertake the processing of the film. They undertook the scanning, and they've got a completely open source policy, which is one of the great things about NASA, is, you know, amateurs around the world have got access to the data that, you know, they've got. For example, now the images that come back from the rovers on Mars, they're just straight on a server, and, you know, the public can access them probably as quickly as the NASA scientists can access them. So the raw data was kind of sitting there, 35,000 scans of this original flight film, but they need to be processed. You know, the way to think of it is these scans are effectively a digital photograph of a piece of film, you know, a piece of film that was actually in the camera. So you need to digitally process it to be able to present it correctly and to get all of that goodness out. And that's what I did. You know, I accessed them, went through them all. It took me about 10,000 hours and pulled out all this new detail. But there's also the classic images in the book. You know, the concept is it's the ultimate photographic record. So, yes, there's new things. There's images where you see it before and it looks, gosh, you know, you can hardly see anything. And then, ta-da, now we can see, we've got this amazing photograph. But it's not supposed to be a gimmicky book. It's the ultimate photographic record. So the classics are in there, Blue Marble, Earthrise, A Man on the Moon, photographs that we've seen probably hundreds of times, and almost everyone in the world has seen them, but not in a way that we should have been able to, but now we can.
Wow. So it's funny, a guy from a little town in England has this spirit and this... Well, I mean, and it's really, I think it's so remarkable that you had this passion for NASA, and that you then turned it into, I mean, you've saved something so important, because eventually those films will deteriorate. And you've done such a remarkable job, I mean, 10,000 hours of your life to this project. Well, I hope they give you one of those Presidential Medal of Honors or something, because you've done something terrific for the United States and for the world.
Well, thank you. I mean, that, you know, it's an absolute privilege to work on this type of film and to produce these images, and it's something, you know, since childhood, I've just had an obsession with the Apollo moon landings. Like I say, there's this frustration that we should be able to see them better. The frustration that actually what we were seeing was getting progressively worse. You know, in the digital world, people will put a copy online and make a JPEG, and someone will crop it and put it on social media, and it just goes on and on and on. And it just hit me that the most important images in history are seen in a progressively worse state by a progressively bigger audience. And that just should be the other way around. Things should get better, not worse. And yes, there's something about preservation, about producing something which, you're right, that film, the chemical processes involved in analog film will eat away at it. Although it's preserved very well in this freezer, eventually it will be gone. So yes, there's a bit about preservation involved in the project as well.
The wonderful thing about this whole project, I think, is that it will open people's eyes really to what the people did at that time, that young people don't understand how big it was to go to the moon for us, big it was. It really, for those of us who were, you know, little kids, it was a big thing.
Well, I think it's the biggest achievement we humans have ever achieved. The greatest ever adventure, the greatest ever expedition to go and walk on the moon. And yes, to do this 50 years ago, pre-computer age. You know, there are images in the book of the spacecraft, and you look at them now and you think you could probably build one yourself in your home garage. You know, they look so rudimentary, and yet these brave people were flying these rudimentary looking spacecraft pre-computer age to the moon. And that whole, I just love that whole golden pioneering, go-getting era. You know, they took risks. They took huge risks that you couldn't take today. You know, on Apollo 8, this was the first time we had humans that escaped Earth completely and ventured off onto the unknown and actually orbited the moon and came back. They didn't land, but they orbited the moon. The first humans to completely leave Earth, and internally NASA gave them kind of a 50-50 chance of coming home. And Bill Anders, who was on the mission, actually thought his chances were more like 1 in 3. But there was no hesitation. You know, they had to beat Russia to the moon. We had to get to the moon first. The ultimate adventure, and they sat on top of that Saturn V. They were the first humans to ride the Saturn V rocket. You know, the last time that was tested with no humans on board, it almost shook itself to pieces. It would have killed the crew. But the very next flight, they went on it and they went to the moon.
Amazing.
Something else I want to do in the book is tell the stories of these missions that a lot of people don't know about. They know of Apollo 11. They know of Neil Armstrong. They might know Apollo 13 because of the Tom Hanks movie. But there was an Apollo 8 and there's Apollo 17. For which is the 50th anniversary this week. I do have a great interest in aviation, and that is actually part of the reason I was enthused about the Apollo missions. I loved actually anything that could fly from, you know, as a kid, like boomerangs, little helicopters, jet fighters when they come over. You know, I'm one of those people that just gets goosebumps when a jet fighter goes overhead, you know, on training missions, for example. I have always been into that, but rockets really were the ultimate flying machine. And when I found out a rocket had been to the moon, you know, as a little boy, that just blew my mind.
Sometimes Americans don't realize that, you know, all over the world, people were fascinated with our space race and with what our astronauts were doing. It didn't matter, you know, what country. People in all countries around the world were interested.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine, you know, if I was an American and got a copy of this book and I'm flicking through and I see the US flag throughout on the moon, how unbelievably proud. I mean, I'm incredibly proud, and I'm not from the US, just proud of what we humans were able to achieve. So, yeah, so of course, as a lot of the famous quotes at the time went, for all mankind, they were representatives of us undertaking this extraordinary moment in human history. In the UK, you know, when I do an event, people of a certain age come up to me and say, this was my era. You know, in the UK, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and they remember their parents waking them up, getting the black and white TV out and say, you just sit there, you have to watch this moment. And of course, it's lived with them forever. And they say, to have a book now, 50 years later, they're now kind of in the 60s and 70s, and to be able to see it in this way, it has made quite an impact on them.
Where did you do this work? Did you do it at home?
I could download the images and work in my home office. So when I uncovered the this clear image of Armstrong. That was a frustration. We'd never had a clear image of Neil Armstrong on the moon because he held the camera. So when I applied this unusual stacking technique to the 16mm film, that was the first image that kind of got me known, if you like. It was on the front page of the national newspapers over here. But when I was working on that image, it was just in my home office. It probably was 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, when I do a lot of my editing, everyone had gone to bed. And as I started to kind of process it, almost like an archaeologist brushing the dust off some old artifact, the detail was coming out. I just couldn't believe what I was looking at. You know, this was Armstrong, not only a clear image of him, his visor is up so we can see his face, see his eyelid. And it was recognisably Neil Armstrong. So from having no image really at all of him on the moon, we've got one now of him on the moon, and it's recognisably him. I just undertake all of that work from my home office here in kind of northern England.
Oh, that's wonderful. Near Manchester? Are you near?
I live in between Liverpool and Manchester.
I love your accent. So I love it. But you even found Alan Shepard's golf ball?
So uncovered all kinds of things through the project. So when I got to Apollo 14, I was aware of the Shepard hitting the golf ball. We always knew where his first one went, but the one that he said went miles and miles and miles, famously, never found. But in the high-resolution images and some processing, I found that ball. I found his divot, and then I was able to calculate exactly how far he'd actually hit the ball, which wasn't quite miles and miles, unfortunately.
Oh, I think it's so delightful. I think that it's just wonderful that you did this. This is what is so remarkable. Human beings, just sometimes they're inspired by something and then they do something that's truly marvelous. And what you've done here is truly marvelous. I hope that people will be inspired as much by the photos as by you, because it takes one person just to be determined, and you did it.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you very much. I hope people enjoy it and enjoy the photograph.
Well, I'm sure they will. I think that you'll get a lot of opportunities to perhaps get on American television too and to talk about what you've done, because I think we're all thrilled with this. And as you said, it's a 50th anniversary of the 17th.
Yeah, yeah.
50th anniversary of the 17th. And it is, so that happened a few years before you were born, yet it sparked in you all of this wonderful work that you've done. And I just want to tell people, get this book. It's by Andy Sanders. The name is Apollo Remastered. It's wonderful, wonderful photography. Perfect gift book. If you're looking for a Christmas gift, this book is ideal. Everybody will love it. You literally spend hours and hours, well, not 10,000 hours like you did, but hours that you go back and you just marvel at what we did as Americans, and then now what somebody from England did for us. And I think this is a real, really something that you have to be honored for, because you've done a terrific job. But before I let you go, I want to just talk a little bit about football.
In terms of Premier League, I mean, I'm halfway between Liverpool and Manchester, but I'm on the Liverpool side in terms of football, not Manchester United, and absolutely not Manchester City.
I'm Tottenham.
Ah, Spurs.
I'm all Harry Kane. I just fell in love with Tottenham, and so that's my team.
Well, Harry Kane's doing very well for England, so I'm okay with that.
You have to be okay with that one. Was good. They did a good job, and I'm the only thing other than the British baking show. Those are the two things I watch: Premier League and British baking show. So
right. That's a nice mix.
It's a nice mix, isn't it? I'm so happy that you were able to join me today to talk about this wonderful book. I just want to thank you again, Andy Sanders. We need to get you a Medal of Honor for what you've done here. Thank you very much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
What a guy. Wow. Can you imagine 10,000 hours? His work is, and as I said, this is a perfect, absolutely perfect gift book. We have the holidays coming up, and this book is so beautiful. It just is something that people will treasure through generations, really, because it's something that we have to be very proud of. And I hope that you will get this book. And Andy is absolutely delightful. Anybody who gets this book as a gift will thank you so much. Bye-bye now.